Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Keelan Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. How's everybody doing? I'm laughing because it's just been such a crazy weekend. But before that goes, this program, this one, this P4P Real Talk,
this one
is sponsored by P4P Muscle. And that's all right, so I chop. The number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And hi's oh my, yeah, it's that kind of day. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, that's all right, you know what I mean. And a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Vance?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream. I'm not sure what
I
kind of accent
you.
That was.
I tell you what. Check us out at Pay for Pay Muscle if you're checking us out. Let's see how I did that. See how I did that there. And now, I reckon. Let's talk. Hey, Desiree, how you doing?
I am good. And I've got to share something that happened this week that was a little crazy. At least it's a little crazy for me. Maybe some of the others of you out there in listener land have experienced this. But I've never experienced this before. And, Kaylin, maybe you've experienced this. But So here's the deal. So I've been in my neighborhood that I'm living in now for about 2 years. Very quiet, no issues. However, I'm getting ready to move now. So transitioning some stuff from one location to another, trying to put some stuff away at the new place. And I get a call from my son that says gunshots have been fired, police are everywhere. And then I'm like, okay,
wow.
Then I'm coming home. Yeah, no doubt. And wouldn't you know, it must have been a drive-by. Praise the Lord, no one was home at the house they were firing at. But it's the house directly across the street from my house, directly across the street. If they had decided to turn around for whatever reason and shoot out the other window, they would have been shooting at my house. And still not sure what was going on, what happened, but I think they hit the house across the street maybe like 3 times. But just absolutely crazy. And what's even more upsetting is that one of my daughters was sitting in my bedroom, which faces the street.
Yes, right
so
there.
So had they decided to turn around and shoot across the street, for whatever reason, they would have been firing directly into a room where my child was.
Or you were.
Crazy. Or I would have been, had I been home at that moment.
Or you both.
Or both of us. Exactly. Exactly. And I think they shot like 5 or 6 rounds. I'm not sure. I mean, police were still here by the time I had pulled up, so it hadn't taken place, you know, that long ago. And you know, and all my kids throughout the house heard it, and it was just absolutely crazy. And I'd been gone, like, I literally drove from one spot to the other, and it happened that fast.
That's usually how long it takes, yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, I don't know.
That's insane.
You know, and
that's the new modern...
And you're not in a crazy neighborhood. And I'm
not
in a crazy neighborhood. That's just that. But I guess,
yes.
You know, I don't know. And, you know, all the speculation of what and why and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, who knows? But still. I mean, and it's a family. It's an established family that has lived here for years. Like, they've been in this house for years, raised their kids in this house, kids in their 20s. I mean, it's not just like someone that moved in and maybe brought some of their history with them. Of course, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, you always see people on the news that always talk about something that goes wrong, and the person they're talking about, they're like, oh, you know, they were so nice, never any trouble, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And had I been interviewed, I would have been saying the same thing about the family across the street. So I guess you never know, but just totally unexpected. I mean, I see them in the yard all the time, working, spreading gravel, mowing, you know, doing everyday stuff. And now somebody's just driving by firing at their house. Maybe it was the wrong house. I don't know. But still, crazy.
I can give a personal account of how things can go really wrong really quick. And this is back when I was younger. And basically, a person had been in a dispute with a fella, and they got into it. It got really heated, and of course, you know, life-threatening statements were made. And basically, the person was talking about coming and shooting him up. And so he's like, well, bring it. You know, I don't care. And then he gave my dad's address.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, yeah, so he's basically given a false address. The guy's going to come out there and shoot up the house and with the intent to kill him. And he just happened to give my dad's address. And thankfully, you know, that it didn't happen that way because the guy heard, you know, he heard the address and he just happened to be, you know, it just shows you how small a world it is. He happened to know me, call me, and ask why this guy was staying with my dad. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, he gave me the rundown of what was going on. And he's like, and, you know, I just want to make sure your dad's not home when I do this.
He was for real going to do this. He's telling you like it's going to be okay to shoot up your dad's house.
Yeah, it's only.
But hey,
home,
what a stand-up guy that he wanted to make sure your dad wasn't there, though, first.
Yeah, how about it? And I'm thinking, you know, do you realize how insanely angry you must be to be doing what you're even doing right now to where it makes sense? And it's just crazy that people can get to that state of anger where human life no longer has value. And, you know, at the end of the day, when they have a time to put their head into their hands and start really thinking about what they've done, they get the full gist of it, but it's always too late. And basically, that segues perfectly into tonight's show.
Actually, it does, because tonight's show, we are going to be talking about human behavior and bad human behavior about that, and I wasn't there to witness it, because it did occur at a competition over the weekend, and Kaylin was representing Midwest Muscle P4P Real Talk on behalf of Team Awesome, and evidently, it sounds like you witnessed some bad behavior. Which you never like to see, especially at a competition.
Especially at something like the Minnesota Mayhem, where everything is done so much to make the athletes feel so prized, so special, and so, you know, just so unique, and everything is basically addressed. They gave away a freaking TV, 55-inch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the winners. And I'm thinking, this is where you're going above and beyond what's going on. And then you have someone basically saying, because I didn't win, let's just tear down the whole day. And hopefully this will be what, you know, gets me the next win. And I'm thinking, well, if you're going to act like this, I doubt if they'll even let you come in the venue, much less step on stage.
So I guess, I mean, I'm sure like everybody else who's listening, like what happened? And don't, I mean, kind of step us from the beginning as to what went down and just kind of, well, I guess I already said it. What happened?
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. You know, the show, everyone understands prejudging that's been around shows for a while. A lot of times, family members and friends don't get to make it until the night show. And there's been times where we've seen people come in either looking better or much worse than what they did in the morning. And if it's, you know, like in the NNBF amateur side of it, well, in the pros as well, the IPE, they'll go back and rejudge it. You know, if it's too far off. Well, that's the premise of what's going on right now. What we had was basically a backstage first place physique that was incredibly bad posing on stage. And his look and the morning was much better suited for one class than it was for the other when he came back that night. Because he had competed in both, he had basically done just the opposite look for what he needed to do. So basically in bodybuilding, he was too soft for bodybuilding, and he was more fit for the other class he was doing. And then at the night show, he looked better in bodybuilding than he did in the physique. And it was hard to explain, but if you were there, you could see it. And his posing did not help at all. Even if the judges had basically done everything possible to lead it his way, he still would have screwed the pooch and missed the ball on it. And it was just so painful because, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. There have been times when I've been such a fan of what's going on that I've almost ruined the show trying to get a competitor to do the right pose. And I've actually been put out of the venue because of my yelling, because my voice does carry. And when you're close to the stage, the head judge has a hard time on a microphone speaking over me when I'm trying to get a point across. And I found that out painfully so when I was asked to walk out into the lobby so, you know, basically the show could go on. It can be that bad. And this is what had happened where I didn't yell out anything. I was being quiet. I was backstage, actually. And so pre-judging was done, and when he came back out, you could see nothing he was doing backstage in the mirror was even remotely close to what he was portraying on stage. And it was so bad because what he was doing backstage was perfect. When he could see himself in the mirror, every pose was exactly as it should have been. But the transition out in front of the audience and in front of the judges, and it was night and day. And it was just so bad. I mean, so bad. And it's just hard to watch because it's like basically someone coming out to the NFL football playing field in a tutu ready to do ballet because it was just so off and so bad. I mean,
To
watch. It was just painful. Yeah.
So his performance wasn't matching what he had perceived was going on in his head. So judging happened, and then what?
He didn't win, and he lost in both classes because basically he flipped. The posing he did in physique was better for bodybuilding, and then the look he had was better for bodybuilding and then physique. So, I mean, like, he could have won if he had brought the look he had that morning, I mean, that night for bodybuilding, he would have won bodybuilding because he was far and away, and he had much better symmetry, much better fullness that night. That morning, no. And so, like, it was just the worst mix of everything. And it was all something that he would have to look in the mirror and face himself. But he decided that it was the judges' fault and, you know, politics and, you know, all the stuff we see on the social media. And, you know, he just had been robbed. And it was just bad to watch. So it was just painful. And I hope tonight's show will help people, especially the listeners that plan on competing, especially the ones that are supporting their family members, you know, be mindful that there's other things other than how they look at your house, how they look in the pictures they send you. There's a competition that has to happen. And I think if we're not addressing that part of it, then a lot of people are missing out on what's really happening when they see their family, friend, or whoever, loved one, on stage, because, you know, that kind of behavior is just wrong. And we're gonna elaborate more, but I'll concede the floor to Dez because I'm probably rambling.
Okay. Well, I just have two things. I have an introduction and then a thought that I want to share. A couple of thoughts. So We do have a guest tonight. I think we kind of, my segue kind of threw us off a little bit, or my story threw us off a little bit. So we're going to welcome Ebong Stansel here in just a second. He is a veteran natty bodybuilding pro and has probably seen more instances of this type of behavior than he probably cares to recall. But he's going to weigh in on our conversation. So, hey, Ebong, how are you doing?
Well, how are you guys doing this evening?
Good, 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 good. So before I lose my thought, I'm gonna have you introduce yourself fuller here in a second, but just two quick things that I want to say, and then we'll carry on with the rest of the conversation is, first off, the first red flag that I hear in your story, Kaylin, is that, and this, guys, okay, it's my personal opinion. There's probably a lot of people out there that will disagree with me, but you know what? The crossover makes me cringe every time. Because if judges are judging according to the criteria, there's really only one category that you can walk away and win if it's based on criteria. So the crossover makes me cringe, and I kind of feel like either he set himself up or his coach set himself up for a little bit of a disappointment anyway, because he was competing in two totally separate categories. It wasn't like he was in Masters bodybuilding and then competed in the Open, because that's still bodybuilding. You know, just two different sets of criteria. So that kind of makes me go, ugh. And then secondly, I mean, you know, losing is disappointing. I get it. Been there. I've had my fair shares of not placing first. Trust me, I get it. But I don't know. I feel like there's more of your story that you need to tell about what happened when, you know, other than it being the judge's fault. But before we get to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, I'm going to bounce back to Ebong. Ebong, say hi to our listeners. Tell a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get the rest of the story.
Hello, I am an IPA, PMBA, a natural master's pro. I've been competing since 2008, and I love it. I don't know much to say. I love it.
Awesome. and we love that you love it.
Yeah, I didn't get this from the beginning of, you know, of the show, but I kind of talked to Kayle a little bit earlier, and just if you kind of just give me an update of what I picked it up when he was giving the analogy of a football player coming out in, you know, pom-pom.
Okay, what we were talking about is what I was telling you about the poor sportsmanship, where you and I have both seen backstage where somebody is lights out and they're just like head over heels, like we're thinking, man, this guy's got it hands down. And then when they get on stage, for whatever reason, something happens where they can't show that first place for thee. And you know, I can't imagine in the audience, because I know when we're on stage standing next to them and we see what's not showing, and then to have them thinking, yeah, I got this in the bag, or maybe that's what happens where they falter and slip to where they think they have it in the bag and they just don't go out there and actually do the posing that's essential for the win, or they've been given bad instruction, or they just don't have a posing coach and never practice because, you know, whatever they did in the gym was supposed to be enough. As a veteran, and you seeing, you know, so many shows, and thankfully this doesn't happen at every show that we attend, but it does happen from time to time. And, you know, when you see that as a competitor, how does that make you feel?
It's almost as if, like you say, is their coach, if they have one, are they really benefiting the athlete? Are they telling them what they want to hear? Are they really, in essence, being their coach? I know something that does boil down to, though, a coach can only tell you so much if you're not willing to do what you have to do. So, but it's all part of, with your posing, everything is an aspect of the show, no matter what it is, diet, nutrition, posing, it's all is part of it, everything. So just, you can't look lights out backstage. And if it doesn't transcend to the stage, then that's not your coach's fault if they prepared you in the correct fashion. then at some point you do have to look in the mirror, and that's where that bad sportsmanship does come into play, as we've seen and will continue to see.
Exactly. And it's frustrating, you know, as a competitor, you do come to compete. We step on stage with the intent to win, but that doesn't necessarily become the case. We've been, I would say it's better to have an idea that you missed out on something than to sit there and throw a fit and then find out you were totally wrong. You know, because we see this a lot in life where people are basically becoming more diva-like than competitor-like. You know, I grew up in sports, so I've been coached for decades on personal behavior, how you interact with other teams and other people, and there's a certain decorum that's expected. You don't take away from anyone else's win or value or self-evaluation of themselves, where you're questioning, you know, why are they better than me? Instead of saying, you know, I didn't win today and I got to live with that, it becomes more of a personal attack on everyone else because you didn't have your way for the sore loser. And, I'll throw that over to Dez and we'll get back to you on this one, Big Yvonne, because it's a tough topic because people, I'll give it to Dez and we'll go from there.
Well, I'm just waiting for the real talk because I feel like there's more to your story than what you're telling.
Okay,
because someone
okay.
just disagreeing with the judges is not enough to want to set up a whole show about a topic. I feel like something else happened here.
I'll get at all of that right now. When we were interviewing, because it was basically a straight run show. So basically, as they were judging and scoring, they were basically trophies were being handed out, the medals as well. And as we, you know, how we set up this to where we try to catch everyone that's coming off the stage right then and there to get that moment for
yep.
them and capture.
Yep.
And this was interrupted by a medal flying past my head. Yeah, shoes. Being tossed in every which way, yelling, you know, for very bad language. It was very frightening because, you know, you don't know what's going on. And, you know, when you turn around, there's somebody that's basically blowing their top off because they're so frustrated they didn't win. And I've been there. I've wanted to win. I thought I brought a great package. I thought I brought my best, and technically that is so. But that doesn't mean you were the best package on stage. And Yvonne and I have both seen that plenty of times. But then it was further heightened when the family was involved because the mother, you know, decided to throw a fit as well in front of the venue.
Oh, no.
So.
Wow.
It just
So wait. So you have yelling and screaming going on backstage, but then you also have
yeah.
the same thing from the family going on in the audience?
No, outside in the front where the vendors' booths were, because they wanted to meet up with him.
Oh, okay.
They wanted to meet up with him and basically you know, have it escalate, it seemed, because, you know, even mm-hmm. when the explanations and the scoring were shown, none of that mattered. All that mattered is that they were never coming back, which I was like, good. I was one of the first. That's a great idea. I'm very happy to hear that. Thank you. And,
my.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great show happening. And then, you know, there's some family that won, and they get to hear about everything their son is not, because this guy should have won because everything he is. And, you know, as a competitor, this should never happen. We all feel that we're winners. You don't go to a show to lose. But the behavior shows the true loser in you when you come about it. Oh, okay, hold on.
Danielle, this is for you, Des. She says, come on, Desiree, you can't tell me that some of the shows you did this year, you weren't first place and you didn't want to pop your top. Well, okay, I'll let you respond.
You know, Danielle, I'm not saying that I have been very disappointed, no doubt, but I didn't let my disappointment overshadow what was going on at the competition. And Kaylin can tell you, and in one show in particular, I was just a little bit flabbergasted. I was like really questioning any of my accomplishments I had earlier in the year, what my future was going to be in the sport, just really questioning, oh my gosh, am I just experiencing some flukes? And I wasn't saying that me not placing was a fluke, but the fact that I had won an overall earlier the year, I had won my class, was that the fluke? Just a lot of, there are hurt feelings and big disappointment, but one thing you didn't see, you didn't see me throwing any medals or trophies or flinging a shoe or anything like that backstage.
Right.
And you didn't see me going online with it, because even if I disagreed with what the judges said, I am not going to take away that moment from the other winner.
Right.
Whether I felt she had justly beat me or not. So, oh no, I feel all those emotions. That's real. That is real. But as Kaylin has said earlier, and probably what Ebong is going to back up, there is a certain decorum of how you handle yourself and talk things through. And, Kaylin brought me back down off the cliff and I was good. But, it was probably still a good couple of days before I was really good with it. But I was at least like not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater after that. But, oh no, the hurt feelings and all of that, it's real. It's definitely real.
Yes. I think that all of us as competitors, we've all had that sadness, disappointment, but that doesn't mean that you have to act in a certain fashion. You should always maintain your professionalism on stage, because we're always in view. I remember an old basketball coach said one time, what should have happened did happen. And that's kind of how I live it, we have to be as professional as we possibly can. Someone is looking up to us that's out in the audience. Someone's looking up to us that's backstage, whether we know it or not. So you always have to have that professionalism and treat people as you want to be treated. I mean, period, point blank. It was that particular day. It was that day. It was that their day. It was their day.
Yep.
And you congratulate them and go forward.
Yeah, I'll give a good example, and this is me and Ebong on stage I won't give the name of the show because it's the point, it's relevant. But we were shown a certain pose at the competitive meeting in that morning, and one of the judges had not been there for that because he was arriving a little bit later. But, he'd already given advance notice that he was going to be arriving later, basically in time for the show to start. So when we were doing said pose, he was from a different organization affiliate, and he saw that and said, well, that's an automatic knockdown. So, when the scoring was done, instead of us being in second and third place, we were in fourth and fifth because of that, those point deductions. And, when we found out, of course you're not happy to hear it, but,
right.
I said, just sit there and go, well, because at the end of the day, we both looked at each other and said, well, neither one of us was going to win, or at least we placed in the top five, because, it makes no sense to throw away the whole day, because at the end of the day, I'm around friends, I'm around family, and I'm enjoying that moment. And, like I said, everyone goes to win. I don't think people truly understand how competitive this sport is, because we all get along so well. But it is still a competitive sport. And I'm just blown away that you can look at your peers and say, there's no way in hell you deserve this on this day, even though you stepped on stage to compete with the attempt to win on this day. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Right.
And I will piggyback that. You know, I do remember that show, and it was a good show, but the criteria, what we were told, was definitely different than the actual judging itself. But after that said, when you throw the hissy fits and all that, has that ever changed your placing?
I don't know
if it ever has. Has a professional athlete in any sport yell to the referee, and then all of a sudden, oh, you're right, let me change that. Not that I've seen, you know. they don't go back. Oh, you're right, let me just change the scoring. It is what it is at the end of the day. So you move forward and go on. Congratulate them, and you go on. You can use that as motivation or fuel to better yourself, which is ultimately the only thing that we can control anyway.
Yeah, and that is so true. And I'm gonna just flip the script here just for a second. It's the same thing, but just a little different venue. So I judge for the Miss USA pageant system for one particular promoter. He's got 5 shows throughout the Midwest, and so I was at the Wisconsin pageant earlier this year, and I'll be at the North Dakota pageant here next month. But we do the Miss pageant and we do the teen pageant, and in the Wisconsin show we had a Miss and a teen both, and their respective mothers. And y'all, let me tell you, you think bodybuilding is fierce? You have not seen anything than a ticked off almost beauty queen and her mama. You have not seen it until you've seen that. And we had one from each competition go storming out after their daughter did not make the top 15. I mean, and there are still more awards to be given, and because they do most photogenic, choice, congeniality, you know, best interview. They do all of that stuff. And one mom basically said, well, you can take your Miss Congeniality and stuff it. You know, one of the staff members tried to say, hey, you know, please stick around. There's going to be more awards. Your daughter could be a winner, so on and so forth. And they got their, you know, their heels and their evening gown, and they took off. And it's just really kind of sad because, you know, the disappointment is great. And even though these girls didn't make the top 15, the top 10, the top 5, there were still a lot of opportunities for them to be back out on stage. They still put on their show face. They were still gracious for the ones who won the other awards. They still gave their congratulations and support ultimately to the 2 women that won their competition. But, I mean, you know, bodybuilding is not unique in this. It happens a lot of places, as you're all aware. Mm-hmm. It's just always kind of crazy. And I even, you know, I'm a mom. And nothing hurts more than when your children hurt, especially in a competition. And I've been there, especially with my oldest daughter in roller derby and wanting to win the national championship and not do it and being so ticked off at refs that you're seeing red. I get that. I'm that loud mom that would probably say something. But, you know, there's kind of a time and place. And it's just, you got to keep yourself in check and just hold your demeanor, because you're really not doing anyone any favors. When you behave like that, and when you support your children in their behavior, even when they're adult children. So a couple of questions rolling in. I'm going to go ahead and transition to that now that I shared my little story here. Carla has seen where a bad tan has cost a placing. What are our thoughts on that? Now, it's in the realm of the discussion because we're talking about judging. So real quick, Kaylin and then Ebong, what do you guys think about that when tanning comes into play on placement?
Oh, you really asked me that.
Well, we know that you have the experience in that area for sure, Kaylin.
Well, I'll just say Ivy Potter.
Man, you took my words out of my mouth.
Yes, I will recommend her hand over heels, because my tan was just that bad. And, you know, and this is still showing the sportsmanship side of it, because at that show, you know, this is learning down the road, where I was also cheated of my win because the person that was that won was basically using. So, you know, that was a double whammy for me. And, it, you know, it'll always be one that sticks out as a sore thumb. But there and again, you have where you have a competitor or a sportsman showing sportsmanship, because at no point did I think, you know, this show sucks. You know, I'm going to basically throw everything and throw a fit. I shook the guy's hand. I raised his hand on stage and basically was happier with the tan, because everyone that had come to the night show and had seen the Ivy Potter tan that had been placed on me after the scoring had been done, well, like, how in the heck did this happen that you didn't win? And you have to field those questions honestly. You know, that you could sit there and basically hang the promoter and the judges out to dry and go, I don't know what they were thinking. Or you could be just man up and say, you know, I had a really bad tan. Because I remember Vince Robbins running to me and almost grabbing me by my neck, asking me why I didn't have a better tan that morning, because I you know, I had that show in the bag if I had come in there with one. So, you know, it's a tough spot to be in, and like Yvonne said, it sucks. It really sucks. I'm telling you, it's bad. It's a bad feeling. But that's the nature of the beast and why you're competing. If all the ducks aren't aligned, then you're not going to win. I don't care what you look like in backstage, because like I'm saying, this kid looked really good when he was doing the poses the way he was supposed to. But that was not what he did on stage. It was that bad.
Yeah, I think tan is very important.
Ivy Potter.
If they can't see you, what can they judge?
Ivy Potter.
And I will give a shout out to Ivy. I love Ivy. Her, she's the best in my opinion. I know she's the best for my body. The colors that she's used on me, I've never had a tanner do that before. So I, you know, instantly hook. So. Ivy's the best, and I do think it's very important. Like Kaylin said, it's all part of the show. It comes down to every single detail. Why are champions are champions? Because they do not miss one single step.
Exactly.
Period. And that the color is part of it.
And that it is. And I agree both with what they said. And, you know, and even when it comes down to, you've got two athletes that are neck and neck, and they are across the board just, There really isn't anything that could be taken away from either one of them as far as the point deduction. Then it really does come down to the overall package. And if someone's tan was better than the other and it just shows them a little bit better, makes them look like a more complete athlete, then yeah. I mean, it seems kind of superficial, but it can come down to that. And as Yvonne was saying, you know, nothing is overlooked. So that has, it is important. So hopefully that answers your question there, Carla.
Right.
We have a comment from Bill that says, like, getting back to our original story here, sounds like the mom and the son needed a timeout. I think much agreed. So here's an interesting question, and I will toss this out. And Kaylin, you were there, so I'm going to lead with you. And then Yvonne, you can share your thoughts. But Dale is concerned with the safety of others that were there at the show. I mean, this guy's throwing a fit. He's throwing things. He's irrational. Who knows what could have happened? And I'm not saying, you know, anything majorly crazy, but, you know, still, someone could have been hurt in all of that. Was the safety aspect of that addressed at all, Kaylin?
Oh, my goodness, yes. One of the benefits of being in a bodybuilding competition, you have a lot of fit people, and they're usually active with their bodies and lives and lifestyles. So we have Brian Berkland, which is Mr. Jiu-Jitsu. We had a lot of MMA guys back there. So, you know, he was tucking his tail when he realized, you know, he was out of touch with things. And I think they ran out to the general populace to vent in the hopes that they might be heard a little bit better. And that didn't work either, because now you have even more fit people, and some are in the enhanced realm, so they're, you know, in the audience, so they're looking to smash someone's head anyway. So it was a no win scenario.
My.
Yeah, it was a no win scenario, and there was no way for them to win other than basically making fools of themselves in an arena that was basically showing your best. This is just it's so bad. But I'll let you guys answer that answer the types when you had something like that happen.
I've never seen a medal thrown across or shoes or anything like that. When you first said that, my first thought was safety, people's safety. What if somebody got hit in the head with that? You know, and
yes.
What if it was just more than a cut or needed stitches? You know, that could seriously injure somebody. You know, and if it's hit in the right spot, even death, you know. That was my first concern. How could we address that and handle that? That would be more of a bigger issue with me. You know, protecting everyone that's there. And then the repercussions on how they, you know, how do the promoters or treat these particular individuals, you know, going forward? Is there going to be a ban, a show ban or something like that? Because this type of behavior can't be tolerated in any venue.
Closer to kind of what Dale was asking, because granted, we have a lot of fit, active people that are ready to step in and step up and try to help calm things down and move things along. But really, is it their responsibility to do that? And from a liability standpoint, should they be doing that? And then from a promoter standpoint, because nobody expects something like that to happen. We don't expect an athlete to come and cut up and potentially hurt somebody. But what do you do, or how do you need to prepare from a promoter's aspect for safety concerns there? Because, I mean, I know promoters are very safety conscious about slipping, about falls, about, you know, keeping people in the right areas of a venue, so on and so forth. So they're constantly looking at that aspect of safety. But, you know, something like this, a fit thrower, you know, I don't know that that's part of their safety plan. It's not my first thought that comes to mind when I'm thinking of safety at a competition.
Well, I can answer that because – you know, like I said, I was introduced to the enhanced side of the thing, and they deal with this a lot more, so they have to have security. And basically, that's one of the good things that has funneled out from that with promoters is understanding that you need some type of security there. So security is there, and like I said, Brian was one of them, and there were two others that were basically there as security to ensure that things didn't get. And Joe Perez does the same thing at the Chi-Town Showdown. And I know that at the Midwest States, Malachi is in charge of the security and the safety of people in attendance and in backstage. So these things are done. Like you said, you can't because of choice and personal freedoms, you know, you have those liberties to abuse. If it can be said that way, the idea is that, you know, the trust is placed on people to behave themselves in a respectful manner. And, you know, this, I think, honestly, with the need for so much attention on the social realm, where with these fake lives and realities, that they get caught up in their own minds and really truly believe that there is simply no way I can lose. And to have that reality come crashing down is what sets off personalities like this, because there's something mentally lacking when you can basically forego other people's health, welfare, and safety because you didn't win. I mean, when you think about it, that's really something that's, it should be looked at mentally.
Yeah, that's probably the deeper issue more than anything else, is they become a victim of their own persona that they've created.
Yes.
All right, guys. So we've talked about the issue, and we've batted it back and forth of poor sportsmanship. So, you know, say someone is prone to outbreaks, what are some tips from your perspective that can help them manage their tempers? If someone is sitting back, is like, you know what, I am that person, I'm not quite sure what to do about that. you know, if they want to change, what are some ways?
Good question. Yvonne?
Yeah. I would say hopefully get some real people in your corner that will humble you so you won't be humbled when your expectations are higher in yourself. That would be my first thought, and then pray that your mindset can change. Well, these kind of incidents don't happen, but I think the humbleness and real coaches and real friends will look, you're good here, but you know, you need to improve here. You got this, you know, look at this champion here. Why did this person get this? Do you have this? No, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do, you know, whatever the case is. But real humbleness and real truth, you know, that can really go a long way. And it's almost like, you know, with the yes men, you know, a real friend tells you what you don't want to hear, not what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I've been blessed, if you want to say it that way. Well, yeah, it is. When there's certain posts you see on social media, especially from people you know, and it's like a red flag as soon as you see it. Like, you know, going for my pro card, going to win on this date. And, you know, I've been the one that sends the message that says, hey, you know, you might want to rein that in because you don't know what the other competitors look like and you don't know the outcome of the show yet. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of disrespectful to the other competitors that are stepping on stage and sharing it with you about, you know, what they want as a result. So, you know, it's almost like the argument about when people were saying, well, pray that I win. You know, when we would play sports, and I would say, well, why would God want your team to win? You know, what's going on with you and God that, you know, your prayer is going to get through where you win the game? I said, why don't we pray for our best, and, you know, whatever happens after that, results in the win. But to say, right, you know, hey, give me that special, because we talk about politics and we talk about favoritism, but if we don't win, isn't that exactly what we're saying? It should have been political, it should have been favoritism, because I know this person or because I'm close to this individual that I should have been handpicked to win. I said, we're kind of speaking against ourselves and becoming a hypocrite by doing these things. And the best way to stay away from it is, like Yvonne said, where we can basically have someone to put the truth and reality back into our lives, because in order to have that kind of mindset, you have to remove a lot of reality and a lot of facts from your day-to-day living. And, you know, I've always been really concerned when they started doing away with the mental health facilities, because then you didn't have as many doctors that could basically address that need that needs to be there when people are going over the edge. Because, you know, that's society in a nutshell. If you don't have anything to counterbalance insanity, then you only keep going more and more and leaning more and more to the insane. So
right.
We have to address it. We have to be a friend and speak out truthfully. And we have to say things a lot of times we don't want to say, but it has to be said. If you're speaking in friendship and as a friend. And it is frightening,
right,
like Yvonne was saying, where we have so many yes men, like, girl, you got this. Oh, it's in the bag. How do you know? You haven't seen anyone on the lineup. You haven't seen what they look like until you actually get into the venue. And you don't know how you're going to do. So all of these things are basically hypotheticals until you have the actual facts on stage and scoring. It's not fair to basically dismiss all of that and say, because my mom's in attendance, I should win. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, absolutely nothing. So we have to be mindful of where we are and what we're doing, and that it is an actual competition, and that you have things to do to ensure you're competing equally. And until that's addressed, then you're going to have issues like this, because someone hasn't been well-versed in what it takes to be a competitor.
Right. Now, what do you think?
All right. What do I think? I mean, I think, yep, you know, you have to be as well prepared to be a gracious winner as you do to be a gracious loser. Because if you can't lose graciously, I can only imagine what's going to happen when you win. So a lot about that is just managing your own expectations. Like Kaylin says, I don't think any of us ever step on stage and think we're going to lose. That is not what we're there for. But, you know, just to keep the bigger picture in mind that you've controlled as much of it as you can control, and you will control as much as you can, you know, once you step on that stage. But beyond that, it's not up to you. So, you know, you have to have that personal mental check of, yes, I feel good. I've got this. I'm as ready as I can be. And, you know, dear Lord, help me to be as gracious in winning as I may have to be in losing, you know, and amen to that. So just my thoughts. I don't know that there's any right or wrong way in prepping other than to be like personally aware of yourself and, you know, really be honest with yourself and your mental state and, you know, how you will respond to something. Run yourself through your own scenarios and then, you know, try to do a self-check accordingly. But anyway, that's that, and I've rambled on long enough. We are getting short on time, but before we do that, Yvonne, you've been so gracious to accommodate our conversation to discussion tonight, but I know that our listeners, like me, want to hear a little bit more about you and downs and maybe some of the losses that you experienced before you hit those wins that led you to your pro card and just how all of that played into getting to that point in your career.
I really never – I've been competing since 2008. Keith Hunter's show was my first show. The St. Louis Naturals in 2008. And boy, you talk about being green. I was so green. I got the tanning stuff. My wife put it on me, and I took a shower that morning, wiped it all off. Didn't know any better. And did everything. I was green as a blade of grass. But over the years, you know, we have evolved, and now I have a coach I've been with for about 4 years. His name is Brett Becker. Great, great coach. He's a nurse, so he has the science behind all this stuff. It's very instrumental, and the road has been tough. I'd say probably my only goal was really to get better each and every time. I remember when I first met Kaylin, and we talk about speaking truth, Kaylin didn't know me at all, and in the DeKalb show that we did, whenever that was, and he's like, man, if you bring up your calves, you might be all right. And so he said, you know, just get those calves. And I started hitting calves like every other day. You know, no matter what body part, I was hitting them every other day. And then, you know, just steadily just grinding and grinding and grinding. And I remember I told my wife, it was about 3 years ago, I said, you know what? One day I will become a pro. And I said, I don't know if you believe it. I don't care if anybody believes it. I believe it in myself. So it just so happened, God bless me, last year at Keith's show. And it's ironic, my first amateur show, and then that's also where I was able to turn Masters Pro. And so that show will always have a special meaning for me personally. And but just a lot of trials and tribulations, you know, learning curves, what works, what doesn't work. Your body's always changing. Can you recognize that? I'm grateful. My coach he lives like 2 minutes from my house. So if I ever got a thing, boom, hey, I'm over, you know, which is cool. So we practice posing, training, everything. So I'm really helpful with that. I am 45 years old and ready to get back on stage next year sometime around this time. So next year, hopefully a little bit bigger and a little bit better.
There you go.
Well, you
can't beat that.
I don't know if you remember that. Not, but I remember
I do remember it. Yeah, I remember that, and that I because I said with the work I could see you had put in, it was just a shame that this was going to cost you that show, because you were going to place higher if you did have the calves where they needed to be. And I was just, you know, like I said, I'm a true fan and I'm a true competitor, and I don't want anyone not being at their best. If we're going to get on stage, we're going to be at our best. And, you know, I that's why I wanted you on the show as a guest, because you and I had been talking to a fella who had thrown a fit at one of the Chicago shows, and it was so disappointing because, you know, he had such a great career if he had the right mindset to match his physique. And it was very disappointing to see that kind of behavior. And, you know, honestly, I was thinking Gandhi wasn't coming back if that's going to be his behavior, because that's not what any sport needs, much less natural bodybuilding. You know, there have been people who are trying to bury that just so they can keep the enhanced realm alive and well. But I'm saying the natural bodybuilding community is a lot tighter-knit group, and there's a reason, because we're so supportive of each other. And the people that don't mesh with that aren't really, you know, that kind of competitor. And you know, I'm not saying that, you know, there's a certain mindset or a certain – well, there is a certain mindset for competing. But there has to be an ideal of true competition in any true competitor. And if all that matters is that you win, and if you don't win, then it's not a good show, then there's something wrong with you. There's not something wrong with the promoter. There's not something wrong with the judges. There's something wrong with your mindset and your mentality. If I will say this again, and I hope people are listening, there's nothing wrong with going out there wanting to win, but there is something really wrong with you as a person, as an individual, if you say that if you don't win, there's something wrong with the promoter and there's something wrong with the judges. If you don't win, if you win, then you can talk to everybody and their mom and give accolades and praise. There's something wrong with that mindset, people. It's not anyone else. You better do some serious self-evaluation and self-reflection, because you got issues that you need to deal with. I don't know if it's your mama. I don't know who it is. But don't throw other people under the bus because you're not ready to be a true competitor. I'll pass it over to Dez, and we can end this show.
And with that, Ebong, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you back out on a stage in 2018.
It was my pleasure. I thank you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Good luck, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Good luck, buddy.
All right.
Tell you what.
Tell you what. So we are on our way out. But real quick, so we talked about some behind-the-scenes stuff tonight. And there is going to be another podcast coming up here in about 2 hours Central Standard Time. And Leif Anderson and the superhuman Mike Newman are going to have a podcast where Mike is going to talk about, from the perspective of head judge, all the results that came down at the Minnesota Mayhem. So check Leif Anderson out on Facebook. Even if you're not friends with him, this is a public post. You can find it. And you can listen to the scuttle of who won and why from the judge's perspective. And then Kaylin, I know P4P Muscle had an announcement, a big announcement that came out earlier this week. Can you quickly give our listeners the rundown?
Yes. Funny that we had a guy that was asking about it. I was so happy to basically put out the fact that, you know, our drug-free athletes are taking drug-free products and they're drug-tested as well. So we're drug tested, our products are drug tested, and basically given clean bill of health on all sides. So that's great to know. We talk about it, we live it, and it's nice to know that they're willing to put that extra effort and money, let's not kid ourselves, it does cost to do these things, and to make sure that we are actually taking drug-free products. That is a great, great understanding and a great step forward in with that link I shared about the SARMs, how someone is basically so happy that he's able to get away with it. It is just shocking that he's willing to risk people's health to sell his product. And if you want to check that link, it's on. I'll pass it back to Dez after Snickerfoodle.
All right. So on behalf of all of our crew, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.